This is Bill Ayers on 95.5 PLJ. We're back with our Community Connection show, which, of course, is an hour long now. And we want to introduce you to our guest, whose name is Mike Haynes, and he's the Chief Governmental Officer for Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Food Bank. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you. It's happy to be here.
So I know that you work both in the main office in Hauppauge and then also right down the block from me in Huntington Station, and you do a lot of government work, but you were actually involved in all of the programs as well. So I want to talk with you about that. Long Island Cares goes way back to the time when the late Harry Chapin and his wife and I founded it back in the early 80s. And you guys have been around for a long time, and most people think of you as a food bank, but you're much more than that. So let's talk about some of the things that you do. We can start off with the food, because that certainly is how you started, but you've grown way beyond that. Talk a little bit about Hungry Kids on Long Island, because I've read in your message that more than 89,000 kids are hungry on Long Island at any one time. I don't know that most people would believe that, but I know it's true.
It is true, and it's a sad fact that, you know, we try through our advocacy work and also through our programs to really bring a focus to get the public involved and to help them, you know, acknowledge this stark reality and get them involved, volunteer, go out with us on our child nutrition food trucks and help kids that, you know, are relying on food from their schools get food while school's not in session.
Exactly.
You know, even just, you know, spreading the word on their social media. Our social media coordinator, Michelle, she's wonderful. And, you know, she really publicizes all we do, especially with what we do with regard to our child nutrition services. She lets people know where our child nutrition mobile units are going to be, which gives people a chance to sign up to volunteer. And she also shares what type of food we give out, which helps people know what they can always donate.
So let's send you again, folks, to licares.org, licares.org. You can also give them a call at 631-582-3663, 631-582-3663. Now, we're talking about Hungry Kids, and you have a number of programs. You're talking about the mobile food truck. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
Our CEO, Paul Pachter, envisioned it a couple years ago, and with some generous corporate donors, it became a reality. Mm-hmm. It really, it's like a food truck that you would see in New York City, where we primarily take breakfast to kids in need, whether it's at organizations that serve kids or the families, like new health centers or other recreational centers and parks. It's taking a breakfast, which is usually a cereal, a milk, a fruit, a juice, and also a snack, so that these kids at least know they're getting a breakfast and a snack. And we're also referring them to other resources for ongoing nutrition assistance going forward.
Now, is this on days when they're not in school?
Well, our child nutrition fleet, we have two food trucks, and we also have a child nutrition mobile unit. Does go year-round, but the food trucks are primarily deployed during the summer to get food to food-insecure children who do rely upon their school with their, you know, free and reduced-priced breakfast and lunch. Mm-hmm. For 9 months of the year. We do try to target that population during the 3 months of the year when school is not in session.
Well, folks, and if you didn't know this, hunger is worst for kids during the summertime, and it's obvious because they're not in school, they're not getting free school lunch, not getting free school breakfast, and so they're hungry. So there is a summer feeding program, but it only reaches about 15% or 16% of all the eligible kids throughout the whole country, and New York isn't doing a great job in getting that out there. So what you guys are doing is very, very essential. You're going around to all kinds of places where kids can get free meals during the summertime. How many kids are you reaching during the summer?
How many kids are we reaching during the summer?
Mm-hmm.
I forget the number off the top of my head, but it's definitely greater than 1,000.
Okay. So that's a step in the right direction. Of course, what we need, folks, is a federal program during the summertime that actually works and reaches a lot more kids. And we've tried to work on that, those of us at Why Hunger, because we came up with an idea which they tried for 3 years, and it worked very well, which was adding money onto food stamps for kids, for families during the summertime when the kids were hungry. And we found that, and the USDA found, more importantly, that it cut down hunger by more than 30%. Now, unfortunately, in this administration, that has been eliminated. So that's not happening anymore. But we've proven that it can be done. And one of the key things is helping Long Island Cares and lots of other organizations throughout the metropolitan area to feed kids during the summertime. So that's the first step here. Now, during the school year, though, you have something called the Kids Cafe. And I know about that because I helped to get it started many, many years ago. Tell us about it.
Kids Cafe is an after-school feeding program where we partner with participating schools who they used to be called latchkey children, the kids that got to stay after school until they get picked up.
Right.
They have some sort of, you know, mentorship, after-school education slash recreation program. We make sure that they get a snack during this program. In addition to doing an after-school program, we also have a weekend program called Pack It Up for Kids, where we discreetly give kids, I want to say it's 6 meals and 3 snacks for over the weekend.
Okay. Now, how does that get distributed? Through the various food pantries that you work with, right?
Oh, no, that's through schools that sponsor the program that we work with.
Ah, okay. How many schools in Nassau and Suffolk are you working with now?
It's approximately 20.
Okay. So this is a program that's started recently, and you have a long way to go, but you're moving in the right direction, 20 schools. What's the process for getting schools into the program?
Well, our agency relations teams oversees most of our child nutrition programs, and they're always reaching out to the schools. And, you know, they're really integrated and, you know, writing letters. And through our agency base, our programs are well known. They're publicized, they're shared, they're on our website, we share it on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We go to educational events, and, you know, I think some people can do these programs on their own without the assistance of the regional food bank, but we're out there and we're trying to get out there and willing to help more.
All right, so folks, if you live in Nassau or Suffolk County, Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Food Bank, is an organization that you ought to know about and use as a resource and volunteer and donate to. Their phone number is 631-582-3663, 631-582-3663. And the website is licares.org, licares.org. So get involved if you live in Nassau or Suffolk County. If not, you'll be able to find an organization similar throughout the metropolitan area. Maybe not quite as good as Long Island Cares, but they're there. So get involved if you want to help hungry kids through one of the local food banks that are all over the metropolitan area. So tell us a little bit more about some of the programs that Long Island Cares has for kids and adults. I mean, obviously, one of the basic things that you do is you deliver food to how many emergency food providers now do you work with?
We have approximately 390 different community partners.
Okay. Give us some examples of the kinds of organizations they would be.
Church soup kitchens, mm-hmm. church food pantries, other religious kitchens and pantries, Boys and Girls Clubs, senior centers, rehabilitation centers, homeless shelters, Head Start programs. Really, if you have a 501c3 and you have adequate space that meets compliance standards, and we do have HC Relations compliance staff that will make sure that your place, you know, meets the baseline standards, you can operate a food pantry.
Okay, and there are about 390 of them, you say, in Nassau and Suffolk County, and you're providing food for them. How do you get it to them?
We deliver. We have a warehouse operation. We have a fleet of trucks, which are out every single day. But some agencies also come to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's pretty complex. But, yeah, I mean, I think as a result of listening to this interview, more and more you'll notice the Long Island Cares trucks when people are commuting to and from work.
Yes, I have.
They'll see us on the expressway.
All right. So lots of emergency food being sent to over 390 organizations in Nassau and Suffolk County, serving how many people, approximately?
Right now, the most recent number, based off the Feeding America study, which we participate and help them with, is about 272,000 food insecure Long Islanders.
Wow, 272,000. Out on Long Island, which is supposed to be one of the richest areas in the country. But we know that there are not just pockets of poverty, but in this decade that the areas in suburbia throughout the country are the fastest growing poverty areas. That may seem strange to you as you listen to it, because you think of poverty as in the inner cities or, you know, in Native American reservations out in rural areas. And we're finding now, because of the Great Recession and the aftermath of that, that suburbia is the fastest growing poverty level in America. And you have experienced that, I suspect, in Nassau and Suffolk as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we own, out of those 390 different organizations that we bring food to, mm-hmm. three of which we own and operate. Those are our satellite service centers.
Right.
We have a satellite in Freeport, Huntington Station, and Lindenhurst. This is part office building, part training space, but also a community pantry.
Right.
And we've seen, just last year, the number of people coming to us directly to the pantries that we operate increased by over 20%.
Oh, boy.
So we, you know, we get the numbers from our agencies, but we also see it firsthand through the satellites, which we own and operate.
Now, this is at a time when the economy is doing better, when the job levels are going up and unemployment is going down. And Suffolk County doesn't have an enormously high unemployment rate. So what's causing this?
Well, you know, those statistics, while they are improving and there is a lot of truth in that, mm-hmm. people are no longer considered unemployed if they're no longer looking for work.
That's true.
So those numbers could be skewed. But also, too, what some research is showing, and also what we're hearing anecdotally, is people who, before the Great Recession, were hopping on a train and making six figures in New York City, they are employed again, but they're employed more locally and making a significant amount of less money.
Yeah, I've heard that over and over again. People who were doing very well before the Great Recession lost their jobs, got them back again, but not the same job. And you're seeing that as well.
Yes, we are.
So we get calls at our hotline. We have a National Hunger Hotline. And we get calls from people who say, you know, I've worked all my life, and I don't know what to do. I lost my job, and I was unemployed for a certain period of time, maybe a year, 2 years. I got a job again, but I'm making about a half of what I was making before. And I can't pay the mortgage, and I can't feed my family on what I'm making. So I suspect that some of those people who in the past were sort of middle-class folks are now coming to your facilities.
They are. I've met some people who've had stories very similar to that. Mm. It's sad, and it's, you know, they don't want to bring their family out of the state. They have kids in high school. They have aging parents that they need to take care of. You know, they have some tough choices. And, you know, coming to the local pantry and asking for help from the local food bank is something that's tough for a lot of people, but they'll do whatever they need to do to keep their family together.
That's right. Now, you also are dealing with lots of folks who are working, but have never really crossed that barrier of making a living wage. And so they're struggling. They may work in the service industry, in the food industry of some sort, and they're not making anything like what the average American is making. They're making, you know, maybe $20,000 a year, maybe a little bit more, and you just can't raise a family any place, but certainly not in Nassau-Suffolk County. So you're getting lots of folks coming who are working poor.
We really are. Most people that come to us are employed. A lot of them have more than one job, mm-hmm. and they still just can't make ends meet.
Now, do you try to help them to get beyond just food, but try to kind of direct them to other services?
We have job development programs. We have one for the general public and one for one that's veteran-specific called Vets Work.
Mm-hmm.
We also have nutrition education programs. My primary hat as Chief Government Affairs Officer is legislative advocacy.
Good.
So, you know, when people are in need of food, locally they're getting food from the food bank, which is supporting the pantries and the kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, as we just discussed, they also have some sort of limited income. They also may be receiving some sort of federal nutrition assistance, most likely SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. You know, so combined, those three sources are what's keeping them afloat. And, you know, the role of advocacy in conjunction with Feeding America and all the other food banks and the Food Bank Association of New York State is really to make sure that if it's a tripod, which is keeping 40-plus million Americans afloat, is that one leg of that tripod doesn't get, you know, kicked out from under. And that's why it's important to advocate to make sure the federal nutrition programs, such as SNAP and also the Emergency Food Assistance Program, which accounts for 40% of the products that we distribute at Long Island Cares,
mm-hmm.
is not significantly decreased. In fact, it's actually maintained and, when possible, increased.
But we're in trouble now because the House of Representatives has passed a bill that will severely cut the SNAP program and also a bit in the WIC program, Women's and Children's Program. The Senate version doesn't do that. So you guys are advocating, obviously, now for more of the Senate bill. And are you getting a good response from people? Are people onto this and know that this is really, in some cases, a life and death situation for hundreds of thousands of people?
I think a lot of our volunteers and a lot of the people that follow us on social media do reach out and see and ask what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we always do tell them to call their member of Congress, call their senator. And they, you know, a lot of times they send us a 1 cent email saying, you know, called my member of Congress today. Thank you. You know, let's keep fighting for TFAP. Let's keep fighting for SNAP. You know, knock on wood, a lot of people that don't give us that feedback still are making those calls, still are letters, and still are sharing these things on their social media and tweeting at their members of Congress and their senators. But the, I think nationally, the coordinated approach we're taking with Feeding America is having some good results.
Mm-hmm.
I think our senators will fight hard to make sure that the House version is not the version of the bill that's passed. They're actually in conference right now, so that's
yes.
where the House and the Senate are negotiating the final version of the bill. And from everything we're hearing, it should be, you know, there's going to be some compromise, but it should be a lot better than the initial House version, which was passed.
More the Senate rather than the House?
Yeah, more Senate than the House.
All right, so folks, if you live any place in the metropolitan area, you want to let your Congress members know and your senators know that you don't want to see these drastic cuts, cutting the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which used to be called food stamps, and cutting all kinds of programs that help poor people, and especially that help kids. So you need to let your voice be heard. You can do it in lots of different ways. Mike is mentioning through social media, you can make phone calls to your senators and Congress members and say that that you know that in your neighborhood there are many people who depend on emergency food, but also depend on the government assistance programs. And those shouldn't be cut. They need, if anything, to be increased. So this is a very important kind of step that we need to take, because this bill is going to be voted on now in this Congress. The Congress is probably going to change a good bit, at least the House of Representatives will, but this will all be done before that, right?
Wait, say that again? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said this will be done before that. This bill will be passed probably before the elections.
We hope it'll be this session. Congress gets back to work in September, and mm-hmm. we know that the Farm Bill is pretty high on their list of priorities.
Yeah, okay. So this is a key thing for any of you who are listening. You want to make sure that you call your Congress member and your senator and say that you don't want to see these drastic cuts for people who are most in need, who are getting these services. Our guest tonight on Community Connections is Mike Haynes, and he is the Chief Governmental Officer for Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Food Bank. And they work in Nassau and Suffolk County. There are other food banks around the metropolitan area that do similar kinds of things. But Mike is here to talk about Long Island Cares. He's talked about some of the programs. Talk about your vets programs, because I know you're involved in that, and you have some very good programs that help veterans.
Yeah, well, at those three satellites that we own and operate, we wanted to make a day special just for veterans. So we developed the Military Appreciation Tuesdays program. So at all three of these locations, Freeport, Huntington Station, and Lindenhurst, between 9 and 5, we only serve active duty military, veterans, and their families. A lot of times, the pantry volunteers are veterans themselves, or they come from a military family. So they're really connected to mm-hmm. military, veteran affairs, and you know they have a soft spot for our vets and are very passionate about giving back. So the veterans come to the pantry on a Tuesday. They have a simulated shopping experience. They they pick the food. It's client choice. And they're very happy, and more than just food, they are getting personal care products, household supplies. They are getting information and referral services if there's any other services that they need. And also, what I think, you know, you can only plan so much, and then you see how it really goes. You see that people come the same time each week, mm-hmm. and they look forward to seeing their veterans, and they really, you know, they make friends, and there's camaraderie, and they connect with each other, and, you know, they sometimes carpool together, and you really see the bond that veterans have and how much they still have each other's back, regardless of which branch they served or when they served. You see Vietnam guys talking to guys that just came back from Iraq and Afghanistan and sharing stories and giving advice and talking about, you know, programs and things that are out there. It's an honor to help them with the food and the personal care products and the pet food. But just bringing these people together and bringing these generations of soldiers together is doing just as much good. And, you know, it's something we didn't foresee, but it's a real special thing that is nice to witness each week.
Okay, so Military Appreciation Tuesday, every Tuesday in three different places. Tell us where those places are exactly.
Huntington Station.
On Broadway.
220 Broadway mm-hmm. in Freeport. It is on Sunrise Highway.
Okay.
And in Lindenhurst, it's 163 North Wellwood Avenue.
All right, so three very accessible places. And there are programs going on every Tuesday specifically for veterans. Now, I know you also do some work with employment for vets, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We survey the veterans that come to us each Tuesday, and we found that the main reason why they needed a little extra help with their groceries was because of either on or underemployment. So through some generous donations, we were able to start a program called Vets Work. And in 4 years, we were able to help almost 100 veterans get jobs. We helped them with through every step of the process, whether it's creating or editing a resume, whether it's doing online job applications, whether it's letting them know where job fairs are, providing mock interviews, helping align them with additional training services. You know, really, any way we can help, we will.
Okay,
our board's been very supportive. You know, their businesses have hired some of these veterans, and it's a really collaborative program.
So the program is called Vets Work, and it runs out of Long Island Cares in the three places that Mike talks about, Huntington Station, Lindenhurst, and also Freeport. So you actually stick with the vets and have a whole process with them.
Yes, we do. And even after we place them in employment, if they need additional training, we try to align them with resources so that more than just getting that job, they could keep that job.
Keep it, yeah, and maybe grow in it. All right.
Amen.
So what we're seeing here, folks, is something very different from the way that emergency food providers used to operate. When Harry Chapin and I first started doing this work 43 years ago, when we started Why Hunger, and then started the Center for Food Action in New Jersey and the New York City Hunger Hotline and then Long Island Cares, one of the things we always recognized was that giving food to people was just the first step. It's very important. And there are thousands of people all over the country who are volunteers and doing great work in getting emergency food to people. But we also recognized, even way back then, that it was only the first step. And what you're hearing here is a number of other steps that Long Island Cares takes to help people to get out of poverty. And the example with the vets is a very, very good one. But it isn't just vets. You're helping other folks to not just get food, but to go further from there. Talk a little bit about that journey and some of the things that you do to help people.
You know, when people come to us, we also host different community service providers. We've had people from different organizations come and help them enroll in SNAP so that, you know, they are able to get, you know, additional nutrition assistance besides what they're able to get from us. We've had people enroll them in healthcare. And all these things, you know, if you're food insecure, on some level you're financially insecure. So access to services like this does help people. It might not help people make more money yet, but it helps them preserve the limited funding that they do have.
Yes.
Which is important. We've had people people from like PSEG and National Grid talk about utility assistance programs as well. We also, you know, through the food that we deliver to 390 different organizations, they're all different nonprofits, all focusing on improving and fighting for different causes. It's a lot of different organizations. So when people come to us and they open up, and as we're helping them out with the food, but they say like, oh, you know, I also need some sort of counseling, we kind of know where to refer them because we're delivering food to those places.
Mm.
So, you know, the network is there. The network is interconnected. We have relationships with those agencies. And it's, you know, the food, as you were saying, the food is a vehicle for self-sufficiency. And the food really tells us where to go.
Yeah. Many years ago, Mike, I developed a list of services that people would need when they come to an emergency food place. And what I tried to do was to spread that list around to emergency food providers so they could ask the why questions. Why are you here? Why do you need food? Asking that question and then finding out what people really needed, and then helping to lead them to the services that they could find or maybe couldn't find by themselves. So you guys are on that road, and I think that's so, so important. You're going beyond just giving people emergency food. Our guest tonight on Community Connections is Mike Haynes. He's a chief government officer for Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Food Bank. Their phone number is 631-582-3663, 631-582-3663. And their website is licares.org. And this is Bill Ayers on 95.5 PLJ. This is our Community Connection show. And every week we try to have a conversation now for an hour with one or two people from an organization in the metropolitan area, usually, who are helping people to get the services that they need. And sometimes it has to do with hunger or poverty, as the case with Mike. Other times it has to do with a medical situation, or maybe it has to do with an addiction. So each week we try to help people get connected in the community with services that they need. And I'm really so impressed, Mike, and I've talked to Paul about this, that you guys have gone way beyond just giving people food, because that is, as Harry and I always said, just the first step. Tell us about some of the other things that you're doing that maybe people wouldn't know about.
One of the things, going back to the Farm Bill, which funds the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, mm-hmm. it also funds SNAP education efforts.
Yes.
And we have a nutritionist who is partially funded with these SNAP Ed funds, and she operates the Just Say Yes to Fruits and Vegetables program.
Ah.
So she is meeting with SNAP recipients and letting them know what they can do on a limited shoestring budget to provide their families with a nutritious diet that really, you know, incorporates and integrates fruits and vegetables. And, you know, they are utilizing pantries. So they'll say, like, you know, you might not think you have a meal if you have this, that, and the other thing, but it turns out you're actually able to make this casserole. Mm-hmm. You're also able to make this dish. And really, you know, when you think about obesity and childhood obesity and diabetes, it's not enough to just distribute food.
Yes.
You have to distribute the right food. And more than that, you have to really teach people how to cook it, how to prepare it properly, store it, but also, you know, what foods really need to be a part of that diet. And there's nothing better than fresh produce.
And you're trying to work with farmers and also with stores, large stores, to get some fresh fruits and vegetables and also animal products into the emergency food system, right?
Well, we have a contract with New York State. We administer the Hunger Prevention Nutrition Assistance Program mm-hmm. on behalf of Long Island. A good chunk of that funding that we receive, we use to buy fresh produce from New York State farmers. And our first preference is to always buy from Long Island farmers.
Yay.
But if we can't get it here, we will, you know, we might go elsewhere in the state.
All right.
And we've dramatically increased the amount of produce that we distribute during the 9 years that I've been at Long Island Cares.
And not just produce, but also animal products, and meat and fish and that kind of thing, right?
That is true. That's correct.
So one of the things that you folks may not know as you're listening to us, you may think that when people come to an organization like Long Island Cares, or one of the 390 emergency food providers that they serve, that people walk in and they get a bag of food and they walk out. That's the way it was many years ago, but it is no longer like that. Tell us what the process is like when somebody comes into an emergency food place.
Well, if you're coming to the pantry, most of them now are client choice, which means the clients pick the food.
Ah.
And this is important because a lot of people have dietary restrictions. And also, even if it's not a dietary restriction, you don't want to receive a bag of food that was prepacked that people in your family don't like the food.
Yeah.
If they're not going to eat it, we're not helping you. So it's important because we don't want anything to be wasted. We don't want to distribute food to people and then have them throw it out. And we also want to make sure that if people are on, you know, low salt, low sugar diets, if they're picking the foods, we can identify what's more nutritious, because we also have a healthy shelf program where we store the more nutritious products and versions of traditional foods.
Mm-hmm. So when people come in, they get a basket or a wagon, and they go through the emergency food plate, and they pick out what they want, right?
Yes, they do. They whether it's the site manager or a pantry volunteer, they the first thing is you come in, you get assessed. You also get a list of pantries that are in your hometown that we're already delivering food to. In case coming to one of our three satellites was a hike, we want you to know where some alternative locations that you can go to for ongoing support is. Also, if there's any other pressing health or human service need, we want to, you know, set you up and let you know where you can go to address those needs. But, you know, you get assessed, you come into the pantry, and then the volunteer or the site manager helps you with your shopping experience. You know, we have a chart, a rubric that, you know, for a family of four, you get this much fruit, you get this much veggies, you get this much protein. But from there, you make the choices.
Sure.
Because who knows best what your family wants and what your family needs better than you.
Exactly. Now, many years ago, maybe not too many years ago, 8 or 10 years ago, I did a show with a woman who had created what I thought was a wonderful service. She managed to work with people who make diapers and got diapers, thousands, hundreds of thousands of diapers for people all over the country. And when I went into your facility in Huntington Station, which is right near where I live, sure enough, there were diapers there. Tell us about that.
You know, a lot of people use the pantries to supplement their SNAP benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy diapers with your SNAP benefit.
Right.
And they're expensive.
They sure are.
And, you know, if it's a basic necessity and we can get it, we will. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we want to help with the food, the personal care products, the household supplies, the baby food, the baby supplies. Really, if it's a necessity and it'll help, we want to get it to you.
All right, so that's a great thing. Now, recently, I brought my 7-year-old granddaughter down to your facility in Huntington, and little by little, I saw something, and I said, what is that? And it turned out that it was a day that you were collecting food for pets, and we were there. I think you were there that day. We were there with, there was a horse, and I think a mule and a dog. And she thought it was wonderful. She thought this was great. But you were doing it so that to encourage people to provide food for the pets of people who are coming in, because people have pets, and pet food is expensive.
Yeah, it was. That was a press conference photo op,
yep,
to commemorate the Town of Huntington's annual pet food drive for us.
Right.
And that was, I think each year it's grown. It's, we're receiving now well over 2,000 pounds of pet food. It's being distributed in the town at the Huntington Station satellite location. It's dog food, dog toys, cat toys. We've received some, food for some other pets, such as fish. I've seen snake food. I've seen ferret food. It's, it's really nice. And it's, if people in the family are going hungry, so are the animals. And it's our position that animals are part of the family. And if we can help you with pet food and that, you know, helps you to be able to pay a bill or pay a high utility, mm-hmm. we want to be able to do that. We want to help you preserve your hard-earned money and make it so you don't have to have another tough choice for that month.
Our guest on Community Connections is Mike Haynes, and he is the Chief Government Affairs Officer for Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Food Bank out in Nassau and Suffolk counties. And their phone number is 631-582-3663. That's 631-582-3663. And their website is licares.org, L-I-Cares, C-A-R-E-S.org. So, Mike, we've been talking about the various services that you guys provide. What have we missed? Have we missed anything?
Well, we do have the overall, we are a food bank operation where we deliver food over 7 million pounds a year.
Whoa.
Through the 390 different community partners, the soup kitchens, the food pantries, the senior centers, the daycares, the counseling centers, the rehabilitation centers. We have the legislative advocacy component, where we connect with our legislators and encourage our advocacy network, our volunteers, our colleagues, and our, you know, board of directors to get involved and fight for things like, you know, no SNAP cuts in the farm bill and increased TFAP support. We do have the direct services. We have, you know, a fleet. We discuss the child nutrition vehicles.
Right.
The partnerships with the schools to help kids with food during their after-school programs through the Kids Cafe and with weekend food assistance through the Pack It Up for Kids. And the food trucks going out in the summer months when the kids aren't getting the food from school. We have a mobile pantry program, which if you can't come to Long Island Cares or one of our member agencies, it's kind of like Stop and Shop Peapod. We have approximately 90 families. Half of them are disabled veterans. And on a biweekly basis, we're delivering food to these families.
Oh, that I did not know.
Yep, there's a... It's primarily for homebound seniors and disabled veterans, but there are some people that have debilitating illnesses that can't get out of their house, and that, you know, they've lost mobility.
All right, and, so folks, you know, if you live in Nassau, Suffolk County, this is a program that might help you or someone that you know who has a disability. If you don't live in Nassau, Suffolk, you ought to check out your local food bank or food pantry and find out if they have a program that's a mobile program like Long Island Cares does that brings food directly to your home. So wherever you live, you should check that out. Long Island Cares does it. I suspect that some of the other food banks do it as well. I'm not sure about that. But I think this is something we've seen all over the country that's happening now. It's a very, very important facility, a very important service. So we're talking about seniors, we're talking about people who are disabled, including vets. We're talking about people who don't have the kind of mobility to get where the food is. So this is helping 90 families on Long Island, but it could probably help a lot more if they knew about it. How do you get the word out about this?
Well, we do publicize it on our website and through social media and through our network of agencies. If they're coming across people that need this assistance, they do refer people our way. The only other thing I think is really important to mention about this program is that it's really 99% run by the volunteers.
Ah.
The volunteers are calling the recipients, reading the menus to them, and they're saying, yes, I would like that, no, I would not like that. And then volunteers are actually delivering the food themselves, too.
So this is the,
you know,
Meals on Wheels type program.
The difference is Meals on Wheels is prepared food. This is not cooked product.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Meals on Wheels is one of our larger member agencies, though. We do supply them with some of the food.
So so this is food that's not prepared. These people can, there's somebody in the house who can prepare it. They just can't get it.
That's correct.
All right. So this is just another service that the food banks are providing now, at least Long Island Cares is doing it, and it's very important. What percentage of the folks that you serve are seniors, would you say?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure, and I don't want to make a wrong guess, but we are seeing a rising percentage of food insecure seniors.
Yes. Well, one of the reasons for that is that housing is so expensive in Nassau and Suffolk County. And there are a lot of folks who, you know, could afford while they were working, but now they're not working anymore. And they're on Social Security. Maybe they have a little pension. Maybe they don't. But they're getting squeezed. And maybe they're your parents or your grandparents or your aunts or your uncles But they're out there. There's a lot of them. And you need to encourage them to reach out to programs that can provide for them, like Long Island Cares does. But again, those of you who are in the rest of New York or New York City or Suffolk County, not in Suffolk County or Nassau County, maybe you're up in Connecticut or you're over in New Jersey, there is an organization in your neighborhood that does some of these things. They may not do them as well or as extensively as Long Island Cares, but they do them, and you ought to get yourself in contact with them. You're pretty much finding now that throughout the metropolitan area, some of the other food banks are doing this kind of thing, right?
Yeah. A lot of the food banks have mobile programs. And, you know, the food banks in New York are part of the Food Bank Association in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
We meet on a regular basis. We have conference calls. And, you know, we share what we're doing. They share what they're doing. And if programs introduced in different regions of the state make sense for us, we, with their advice, try to bring those programs here and vice versa.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. That's something that we at Why Hunger have tried to do and continue to do all over the country. It's something I've always believed in, that we can all learn from one another. You know, you come up with a really good program. Hey, I want to hear about that. Somebody else comes up with one in Schenectady, and you've never heard of that before. So you sit down, you talk about it, and it can happen. This is a very vibrant kind of movement, folks. And remember, just as we've been saying, this is not just getting food to people. It's getting good food to people, and it's also helping people to take the next step beyond just food into the rest of their lives. Talk about some of the other connections that you make for people with other services. You've mentioned a couple of them, but talk about the other kinds of connections to help people get out of poverty.
Well, we have a very strong relationship with each county's Department of Social Services.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually come with us to do homeless outreach. One of our mobile units is the Hope for the Homeless mobile outreach unit.
Ah, we haven't talked about that yet.
No, we haven't. And that's staffed by a military veteran who goes out 3 or 4 times a week, goes to where the homeless people congregate, train stations, zombie houses, some other places, and brings them food. And more than that, he brings them other supplies that they need. We have in the winter helped some homeless people out with winter hats and coats and gloves and things like that. And also, when the relationship is there and there's mutual trust, we have been able to connect them with people that were able to get them transitional housing and then ultimately permanent housing.
Ah, okay. I don't know the number. Maybe you don't either. But how many homeless folks do we have in Nassau and Suffolk County? Do you have a guess?
There is the homeless definition by HUD periodically changes. So it really depends on if you're counting those that we call couch surfers as homeless, people living in cars as homeless,
mm-hmm.
or people living in shelters as homeless. It's a wide range, and there's not a number off the top of my head that I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But there are a lot of people on Long Island who fit into one of those categories, right?
There sure are.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
And you see people. No matter where you're living, whether it's Long Island or any place, you see people, even in some of the richer neighborhoods. You can find people. Maybe they're hanging out at the railroad station. Maybe they're hanging out wherever they can find. And it may be that they have a drug problem. Maybe they have a mental problem. But maybe they just fell on hard times and lost a job. Or maybe they have some sort of a disability. There's just all kinds of reasons why people are homeless. But the key thing is to get people into the mainstream, into the services that they need. So this Hope for the Homeless program, this outreach program that you have, is one I didn't know you had, and I'm just delighted that you have it. And it's working. Are you trying to expand it?
We help with that program
mm-hmm.
over 100 homeless people each week.
Oh, wow.
And we, you know, I think the you know, we're always getting intel. The homeless people, they do have quite a bond with the person who coordinates the program.
Mm-hmm.
And they do say that, you know, hey, you also got to check out this part of town.
Mm-hmm.
You also got to go to this strip mall. So, you know, really, if we know that there are homeless people congregating and they need food, we're going to go there.
That's a great thing. That's a great thing. Wow. All right. Let's do a little bit of dreaming now. You've been working for 9 years with Long Island Cares. You do great work. Long Island Cares does great work. And you're trying to get the government to do better work. What are some of the things that you'd like to see happen that the federal government or the state government or the local government should be doing? Maybe it's something they're doing, but they need to do better. Maybe it's something they're not doing at all. What are you talking to the legislators about?
You know, we've touched upon it a couple times, but we need a farm bill that provides adequate funding for the federal nutrition program.
Sure.
Specifically, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and also the Emergency Food Assistance Program, so SNAP and TFAP. I mean, that's huge for us.
Sure.
You know, we're pretty happy with the state's government, the state's feeding program, the Hunger Prevention Nutrition Assistance Program.
Mm-hmm.
But if it were to be increased a little bit more, that could help us to do even more great work. But more than that, to buy the fresh produce, to
yes.
buy the, you know, to mm-hmm. buy fresh milk, to buy more protein, because the food that we should be eating is more expensive than the food that we shouldn't be eating.
Exactly.
So even if we're serving the same amount of people, and even if hunger, you know, knock on wood, let's say hunger were to keep decreasing over time, we still want to be able to afford to buy locally grown fresh produce,
mm-hmm.
Lean meats, and, you know, that's a lot more expensive than canned and boxed foods.
Absolutely. Let's get on to something that's a new item. It's sort of a scandal that it is, but it's there. And thank God that they're doing something about it. The governor has a new program of providing emergency food services in all of the state universities and colleges. Are you connected with that at all? Have you sent people to that at all? Do you know if it started to happen already?
We have actually helped Stony Brook University and Nassau Community College. We kind of served as unofficial consultants
mm-hmm.
in helping them to develop their locally, their campus pantries.
Right.
And we've let them know that, you know, we can help them with food, but really they're student run. They run their own food drives. And for the most part, they haven't needed our help. But, you know, we're there and we've made it clear that we can help them in really any way that they need and that we're a resource.
All right, but now the governor is saying that every one of those state colleges or, you know, two-year colleges, whatever they are, they need to have an emergency food program for the kids who are, and there's a very high percentage of kids who are going hungry. So I suspect that you're going to have some more possibilities with not only Nassau Community College, but Suffolk Community College and you know, some of the other facilities that are out there.
I believe our chief program officer, Jessica Rosati, has reached out to other colleges to let her know that we are available mm-hmm. and that we did help two local colleges create their own student-run pantry and that we're, you know, we would love to help them when they create theirs. And, you know, I think those conversations are in the beginning stages, but that with the spotlight the governor's shown on this issue, I would anticipate, you know, hearing more from the colleges on Long Island.
Good.
And, you know, we're always willing to help.
You know, one of the programs I don't think we've talked about enough, and that's the New Paths to Achievement. Tell us a little bit how that works at Long Island Cares.
New Paths to Achievement really tries to help people get the skills needed to become their most employable selves. So whether it is helping them get dress clothes, whether it is helping them to kind of do a self-inventory, an internal skills assessment, whether it's to get them more comfortable public speaking. Really, it's you know, it goes hand in hand with food being a vehicle for self-sufficiency. The you don't need us for food if you're able to provide for yourself.
Right.
So, you know, it's an employment and empowerment program that we're pretty proud of.
And where does it operate out of?
Well, really, it operates out of all of our locations. Mm-hmm. It's a community outreach program, and we let people that come to us for emergency food know it exists, and then it kind of takes off from there, aligning them with resources, helping them apply for jobs, helping them get dress clothes, providing, you know, other sorts of job development training assistance.
Now, one of the real problems that we have on Long Island and every place else is low-wage workers. And, you know, there's been some move afoot, certainly in New York, to raise the minimum wage, and the governor's trying to do that. Have you guys been involved in that at all?
We have wrote letters. We have advocated on a federal level and a state level to provide a more living wage. We've also partnered with other nonprofits focused on policy work, such as Health and Welfare Council and the formerly known Sustainable Long Island, talking about how important this is. I currently sit on the Suffolk County Welfare to Work Commission.
Oh, great.
And we've taken a position saying that, you know, a living wage needs to be provided.
Mm-hmm. And what do you call a living wage on Long Island?
Well, that's a topic of debate.
I'm sure it is.
And, you know, I think the recent Empire State Foundation found that a family of four on Long Island to have a chance needs to make about $88,000 a year.
Isn't that amazing?
And you know, I've seen some other, I think, Catholic Charities studies that have it more around $50,000 or $60,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, when you think about people making less than $15 an hour,
yeah,
they really don't have a chance, even if it's just them. And when they have a family, it's even tougher.
And a lot of those families are single mothers, so that
is true.
Yeah.
There are single fathers out there, too, though.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. There are.
Yeah.
And so what we're talking about here, folks, is a whole raft of services to try to help people who are hungry, but then to help people get out of poverty. And that's a key thing that the organization that I started with, Harry Chapin, have always believed, that the root cause of hunger is poverty. Root cause of poverty is powerlessness. So helping people to gain power in their lives, and also helping our country to recognize that it needs to use its power to empower its citizens. And one of the ways to do that is to pay a living wage. And we've got a better shot at that in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut than in other places. But it's still not enough, you know, this because cost of living is so much higher in these states. So all of you who are listening out there, you need to be aware of the importance of raising the minimum wage, of providing the kinds of benefits that are needed, whether it's family leave or sick leave, or making sure that people are paid overtime, and also making sure that wage theft isn't happening. We know that there's significant wage theft, billions of dollars in this country. Some of the poorest people in America who work very hard have their salaries, or at least part of their salaries, stolen from them. So there's a whole range of things that those of us who've been involved in this battle have, for many years, believe in. And I think that Long Island Cares is one of the foremost organizations in battling not just hunger, but also injustice and poverty. And I want to thank Mike Haynes, who was the Chief Government Affairs Officer for Long Island Cares, for being with us. Thank you for staying up late.
Oh, thank you, and more than just thank you for this opportunity to speak tonight. thank you for, along with Harry and Sandy, for founding Long Island Cares. You really made all of our work possible, and I hope that, you know, each day we're helping to fulfill the vision that you, Harry, and Sandy created in the early 80s. It's
you are.
It means a lot, and it's pretty cool that you're right down the block from us, and we get to see you semi-regularly.
Absolutely. I'll be there.
Your granddaughter. You know, it's really an honor to work for the organization that you founded. It means a lot.
Thank you, Mike.